Thanks, Howard. Good afternoon, everyone. I want to start by just correcting a little bit of what Howard said, because he put everything in the past tense. And despite the fact that CDC stopped funding us after 8 years, Unity is still going. And we are excited, actually, that with funding from Langlois Foundation, we are bringing about 25 cities to Oakland in January to really continue to drill down into this work and continue to do the work. And we continue to work with cities. So is a better verb. So I'm really honored to be a part of this panel with all the locals. I'm the outstanding non-local, and as Howard said, it's really to provide a context for what's going on. And in the work that we've done with Unity, we've gotten the chance to see what's going on in cities around the country and to really learn from that and help spread that and disseminate it in other cities as well. And really, the field has changed quite dramatically in the last 10 or so years. And I have no disclosures to make. So Unity builds support for effective, scalable, sustainable efforts to prevent violence before it occurs so that urban youth can thrive in safe environments with ample opportunities and supportive relationships. And we do that really through advancing a public health approach. Very quickly, this is work we do in partnership with Deborah Prather-Stith at Harvard School of Public Health, Billy Weiss at UCLA, and Howard Pinder Hughes in San Francisco. And as I said, with the city network. And it's exciting to see a few folks from that network in here now. We've engaged cities from around the country in this work moving forward and worked with them at different levels and degrees. Some we've really worked very specifically on developing plans. Others have been part of our peer learning network. But it's folks from these cities that have really informed the impressions that I'm going to share with you today. Way back in 2005, 2006, we started with a needs assessment where we did interviews with mayors, police chiefs, school superintendents, and public health directors in a third of the largest cities in the United States, and we compared that to baseline violence rates. And what we found was that youth violence was considered a serious issue, that what was going on was not seen as very effective or adequate. Cities didn't have comprehensive strategies. And we found that cities that had the most coordination across those sectors also had the lowest rates of violence. That being said, there weren't so many that were coordinating across those sectors. In fact, they were primarily using law enforcement and criminal justice solutions. And public health was not seen as part of the solution, nor did it see itself as part of the solution. Today, it's a really different landscape where we're seeing comprehensive plans, balanced approaches that are not just criminal justice but also include prevention and intervention, and really drilling those resources into neighborhoods that have the highest need. A lot more multi-sector engagement and coordination, along with the recognition on the links between multiple forms of violence and the role of trauma. And as you'll see from what folks in New Orleans are going to share, much more understanding of the role and leadership of public health. So I want to just go through these and share some of the examples that are emerging so that you can then use that as the context to really look at New Orleans as really being part of this wave and in many ways on the front edge of the wave moving forward. So starting with the first three, I want to talk a bit about Minneapolis. So Minneapolis is a city that had one of the first explicit public health plans in the country. They created a blueprint for action around 2007, and it was a four-point plan. Now they actually have a five-point plan. But you can really see the public health infused in this. At primary prevention, connecting every young person to a trusted adult, then intervening at the first sign of risk, restoring youth who have gone down the wrong path, and unlearning the culture of violence. They first implemented this in five neighborhoods that had the highest rates of violence, and then expanded out into 22 neighborhoods. And they initially saw 40% reductions in juvenile crime and violence within 2 years and have managed not only to sustain those numbers, but to increase their outcomes. So now the number of youth homicide victims is down 60% from 2006, and 4 times as many high school students with year-round jobs and internships. So it's really been a model for cities in terms of how this can work across sectors. Multi-sector engagement and coordination. As I said, when we first did that assessment, we understood from that assessment that where there was multi-sector coordination, violence rates were lower, but it wasn't going on in a lot of places. A lot of folks didn't know what was going on in places outside of their own sectors. And here we see a big change. And I'm going to talk a little bit quickly about a tool we've developed that's really about how multiple sectors come together. Give a shout out to my colleague, Sheila Savannah, in the back room, because I'm going to share a bit of an example from some of her work in Houston. And on really what we're seeing about multi-sector contributions and partnerships around the country. The recognition that everyone has a role to play, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and that it doesn't have to be everyone. It can be dyads, triads, working together. Through this kind of analysis, you can look at information gathering about each kind of sector and then how together you can get greater outcomes. So in Houston, really public health, property owners and managers, youth serving organizations, and public works came together in response to concerns they were hearing from young people about an area near a school that was really unsafe. And they decided together to create a safe open space near the school to promote attendance and reduce the fear of violence among youth. So two sectors got together through a shared use agreement to remove trash and toxins. Three of the sectors engaged tenants and civic organizations to maintain the land on an ongoing basis. And all four sectors are making microgrants to support young people in leading neighborhood cleanup projects and other community-based campaigns. There's also been a growing recognition of the links between multiple forms of violence and the importance of trauma. We recently released a report with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on the links between multiple forms of violence and how they are interrelated. As our colleague, Dr. Deborah Prothero-Stith, has said, gang violence is connected to bullying, is connected to school violence, is connected to intimate partner violence, is connected to child abuse, is connected to elder abuse. It's all connected. Some of the ways it's connected is that multiple forms of violence are experienced together, that they share common underlying factors, and that there's common impacts for individuals, families, and communities. And further, exposure to one form of violence increases the risk of further victimization and engagement in violent behavior. And to my knowledge, New Orleans is really the most explicit in its violence prevention plan about recognizing the need to address multiple forms of violence, and I hope we'll hear a little bit about that. There's also been an increase in recognition of the impact of trauma and the impacts of this on health, so that there's a high risk of suffering chronic and severe symptoms of traumatic stress, including long-term psychiatric problems and lifelong limitations on health, well-being, relationships, and personal success from being exposed to violence, and that these risks are especially high when exposure to violence involves a fundamental loss and security. Lastly, the growing recognition of public health's role and contributions. When we found out back in 2006 that public health didn't see itself as part of the solution, we were very disappointed and took it upon ourselves to really engage public health, because that's a different response than a law enforcement-only approach. And that was a big part of our efforts in working with cities, was outreach to health departments to really be part of the solution, to be complementary to a criminal justice approach and help focus on before and not just after. So we started to identify what public health contributions were. including understanding what contributes to violence in the first place, engaging the community in solutions that are going to work for the community. As the data provider, so that action can be data informed and work in the places it's most needed. That this kind of approach can reduce the frequency and severity of other health problems. We started to look at the links between violence and a lack of access to healthy food or healthy places to be active. It can also promote a return on investment, and we've seen that with a number of prevention models that have been put in place. Advances what is effective and what is not in terms of understanding what to do, and can actually reduce juvenile crime and homicides, and that's what we've seen, for example, in Minneapolis and many other places around the country. And public health has important roles to play. Public health understands both prevention and population level approaches. As George Albee said, no mass disorder afflicting mankind can ever be resolved by treatment to the affected individual. And that's what public health understands, and that's why we need to be at the table helping advance these approaches. Obviously, public health has an important role to play in terms of measurement and evaluation, and we've seen them play a growing role in coordination across sectors, and I think even more significantly, engaging community and engaging young people in leadership roles in that work. Certainly, capacity building and, again, data-informed strategy. The advocacy pieces around why this is important to do, and convening folks, bringing folks together to get to solutions that are going to work for the community. So I think that what you'll find as my fellow panelists talk about what's going on in New Orleans is that the work they're doing here is both consistent with the emerging trends and also setting models for other cities around the country in terms of how to advance effective violence prevention approaches. I will leave you here with my contact information because you can get all of our information on our website. Thank you.